I find it a blessing this morning to be with you again, and it's a joy to be here. I told my wife this morning that last night I couldn't sleep. I think about this coming up, and what does God have for me? And then I had so many things that I wanted to talk about, but how do I present it? And my prayer was to God that, show me how to present some of these things that I have in my heart that are burdened to my heart. And that kept coming. I couldn't sleep. Things kept coming through my mind. And on and on and on. About 3 o'clock this morning, I finally got up and went to the bathroom again. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to get a little rest. You just keep feeding me things. And another thing I had was I had so many things on my mind that it was a different feeling, It was a different feeling that I wanted to come to church already. I mean, it was like 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening. I wanted to come to church and I wanted to preach, which was kind of a surprise to me. First scripture reading this morning, I like to turn to Galatians and read a little bit from there. And as I read some of this, I was just so blessed at the many things here. And I think it's us as Calvary Christian Fellowship here. We are a lot like this church here. We are the Gentiles that Paul is talking about here. And Paul is encouraging us. See, Paul, an apostle. Chapter 1 in Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin, that we might be delivered, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever, amen. I marvel not that ye are so soon removed from him, and called you unto the grace of Christ unto the gospel, which is not another, but there to be some that trouble you, that pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto them that which have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as he therefore so saith, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And I guess my heart desire is this morning that I don't preach anything other than the love of God and the relationship that we can have with God. I was on Facebook a couple weeks ago. That leads me to what I want to say there. That leads me up to, first I want to give a title. We need to examine ourselves. We're getting to the time of the year that we, what we call Grossmere. We call it communion, where we get ready to commemorate the emblems that Christ has given us, the breaking of the bread. And partaking of the blood of Jesus Christ, the wine, or the grape juice, and the washing of our feet, and some of the things that lead up to that is that we stress on that we self-examine ourselves. We examine ourselves, make sure that we don't have any sin in our life that would hinder us in that relationship with Christ. And I had to think, what are those things? What are the things that we, every time when we stand up, when we have time, but people have time to, we give people time to, express themselves in public. If there's anything that they want to share. And I remember one time, that every time this one person, Every time that this came up, they would always confess the same thing over and over and over again. You know, the next time communion came, that was something that they struggled with. And the next time we had communion, that was something they had struggled with again. And I thought, it's got to be deeper than that, you know. Where was the relationship? Was there not a relationship between the life of that person? And I'm talking to myself, first of all, and I'm not saying anything that's wrong to do that. By all means, do that. Confess your sins one to another and cleanse yourself, you know. We need to realize that, you know, we have faults and things, but what does it really consist of? And then my mind started going back, way, way, way back in my life. And I really appreciate what Henry shared last Sunday when he just opened his life. And that's what I appreciate about you people here. You're like brothers and sisters. You know, we can say our faults one to another. You know, some of the things that happened in our life back there and the same things that we were involved in, we can share it. And we can find healing. And that's what I appreciate about this church here and each one of you. That we can share our faults and things. And I had to relate to some of the things that Brother Henry was sharing. As he was growing up. And as he struggled. And the fears that he had. And as he searched. You know, all those years. Trying to find that relationship with God. And then I just had to think of my life. Isn't that similar to how my life was, but in a lot of different ways? And then I read about Richard Miller's. I don't know all you've seen on Facebook, Richard Miller, how he just opened up. And he talked about the time that he was with the Rod and Stab or the Mennonite Church or the Amish Church and how he struggled and had so many questions. And but they couldn't give him true answers for the way they did things and why they did things, the things that they did. And then how, instead of giving him the gospel or giving him solid reason, you know, they would do things to punish him instead of trying to help him through his walk and his struggle in his life. You know, it seems like, no, it was suppressed. And then he shared how he moved to New Mexico and how he now, how he is. I really appreciate this article. But that just, to me, that opened, what I would say, I guess, opened the fountains to my heart and the things that I had struggled with. Some of the similarities that I had with that I relate with Henry was when I was 15, I was also baptized and become a member of the church. And then when I came to Tennessee, I kind of went into a different culture, and it was more like it's more like a culture than it is, you know, loving our brother as a true brother and helping each other. I still remember as we talked, the church was growing and there was talk of making a minister. You know, the church had to go on. There had to be people in the church for leadership. And then we had a speaker come, I remember very well. We opened it to church, the church opened it for a speaker who we wanted to come in, have pre-ordination services. And I remember, I thought, you know, Daniel Byler, Hillsdale, Pennsylvania. He's a good one. He is a good one. I'm serious. He's a good one. So I suggested that to the ministry. And so I guess there were other people that were suggested. But Daniel Byler was the one that was suited to come and preach pre-ordination services. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that immensely. Then the time came when they, you know, like we do in the Mennonite churches and Amish churches, what we call shtimma. You know, we voted. Who we wanted to put in? I can't remember who I voted for. If I remember correctly, there was like three of us in the lot. I think Leon Weigler's, Daniel Wanger's, us. Was it maybe four? I can't. It doesn't make any difference. But I do still remember the little table. Just bear with me. When it came time to go and get those books, somewhere in that dose, there were brand new song books. Somewhere in the book, there was a little slip of paper. And that was going to determine who was going to be the one that was ordained. We all went and got our book, sat down. And then the preacher came along. Remember, John Mast, Crossville, Tennessee. Started looking through all those books. And he came through my book. And there was a slip. Which to me wasn't really a surprise. Unlike Brother Henry shared when he was in instruction class, how he heard this audible voice that said, "That is you." That he wanted him to preach. I just had the Spirit of God, you know, that he wanted me to preach. I was ready to go. I wanted to preach. And I did. But there was something there that wasn't quite right. We had so many things, so many issues to work through. Coming back to Richard Miller's place, I was on the other hand. He mentioned there one time, it's a scary feeling to come to have a board of ministers, a minister sit down, they summons you and they talk to you and want to talk to you about some of your issues that you are having. You're not quite in the standard. There are things that they thought wasn't quite right. And he wanted to know, well, why? And he couldn't give him a solid answer sometimes. Well, I was the one that was in the group of ministers sitting. And we had a person there and we would, you know, remind them, you know. I know one instance that we went to talk to some people. And the reason we wanted to talk to them because they wanted the skirts were starting to get down to their ankles. We thought this was something that we didn't want in the church. Jesus, forgive me. Just things like that. I cried for 2 hours one time. When my mind went across all those things that we did back then, I was like, Jesus, help us. Why are we doing this? What is the reason behind all this? And I remember another non-Mennonite family coming to the church. I believe their last name was Yeagers. And they came to us. They wanted to become part of the church. Which we offered them the opportunity to do that. Then one Sunday, Miss Yeager came to church. She had a cape on like you all do. We found out later that they were divorced and remarried. This was a concern for us, which I think is true. I'm not saying any of this to knock against anybody. I'm just telling you to share that I'm sharing these things because I love you as brothers and sisters. And that I feel that you understand. Not to bring glory to anybody, but to God. Anyway, we had a fit about that. So we had a meeting with them. We was like, we don't want you to be wearing a plain dress with a cape dress and a covering and things like that because you are divorced. You know, if you want to become a member of the church, you have to separate. They didn't really want to do that. And I was just like, thinking back over that, I was just thinking like, God, forgive us. I mean, we were ready. I was ready to preach the gospel. And I did. But I think we had way too much baggage and things that weighed us down. We went even as far as to say, well, there's a church up north that allows divorce and remarriage. Why don't you just go to their church? I mean, God forbid. Why do we do? But thank you, Jesus, now, for shining the light. I remember crying for a couple hours as I was driving down the road, as I repented of those things that I said and did, and not being in the leadership and giving the guidance and example to some people that we went to visit. God had a different plan for me. I fell into sin, into idolatry. The church excommunicated me and silenced. I was no longer allowed to preach. And it was like having a God. And I'm not knocking anybody in that. I appreciate the brethren doing that, and I think it brought me to where I'm now. And I just want to say, like the brother said, the things that he lost when he was in Seattle, Washington. He came into Paris, Tennessee. They said, there's no work here. But he says he's thankful for those things that happened to him that brought him here. And that's what I want to express also, that I'm thankful for the things that happened to me while I was here. But it seems like God had to take me out like Moses into the wilderness experience. Over 8 years that I was not a member of the church, just befuddled and fumbling and mumbling through life, not knowing which way. And through that, you know, our inner beings, our feelings had been hurt. So we kept people at a distance when we really should have kept people up close to us. I just praise God and I thank God for the wonderful church and fellowship that we have today. I'm not saying anybody doesn't have now. Any other churches that I went to does not have that. I'm not saying that. We just praise and thank God that they want to do what is right and desire what is right in God's eyes. But sometimes, you know, we put culture before we put our love for our brethren before us. Little interesting thing that happened to me in town last week. I just want to share this. I was in at Jerry's getting a haircut at the barbershop. And when I walked in, there was another guy in a barber chair that I really didn't recognize. I didn't know who he was. And then I found out later on he was the fire chief of Parish Fire Department. Michael Williams, I think his name is. Is that what his name is? He was up on the chair, and Jerry and Michael. And Jerry, he's an older gentleman. He's in his 70s, a little hard here. They were yelling at each other, talking, you know, clippers was going and things was going. And so they had to kind of get loud there communicating. After he got done with him paying, I sat in the barber chair, and he starts clipping away at me. Jerry was cutting my hair. Of course, Michael, he was there still talking and getting ready to leave. And he was saying that how, since this COVID thing had come into play, that he had not gone to church one time since this COVID thing had. And he said, well, I think I'm still kind of a Christian. And you should have heard Jerry just fire up. As he was walking out the door, Jerry, he stops clipping. He looks over at he said, either you are a Christian or you're not. And I thought that was quite interesting. Sometimes I think through life, we try too many times to think, you know, well, I got enough good works that I'm a Christian. But it doesn't work that way. You got to have that fellowship with Christ. Well, I gave all my things, you know, I give tithes and I give things, and then we read in Matthew and all the people that did all those things. And God said, I never knew you. So these things, good things that we do on this earth, if our heart is not right, God will spew us out of their mouth. Anyway, as time went on, I was in my wilderness journey, feeling alone. Struggling. I had wanted to go to a counselor, you know, somebody to counsel, but I was advised not to go. So our help needs to come within the church, which, amen, that's right. I agree 100%. But sometimes the counsel and the things that we get from within the church are from other people that are in the wilderness journey too. I was also told that I had to stay home. I was a truck driver, and I had to stay home. I had to come home every night. That was a stipulation. You had to come home every night. I agree with that. That's the ideal situation. We need to come home every night so we can be with our family and raise our family. But it wasn't working like that for me. Not every situation is perfect. So I tried milking cows for a while so I could be home. Then later we found out people can fall into sin, commit adultery, even though they're not truck drivers. And I tried so hard, man. I tried so hard to be the right Mennonite. I tried so hard to be the right person. But it would not work. I did not have the Spirit of God leading me. Now as I look back, some of you all have probably seen the poem of the that the footsteps in the sand. Some of your homes might have that in there. And he goes on, I don't know word for word what it is, but it goes on, I think it's as the person goes to be with the Lord, or he looks back in his life, that as he sees the two sets of footprints, sometimes he sees one set of footprints.
And the question is asked, Lord, why? Why did you leave me during that time? When I was having a hard time in my Christian life. Lord, why did you leave me? I didn't feel your presence. And the Lord answers the question. He said, I didn't. I was there all the time. He said, matter of fact, this one set of footprints that you see was the time that I carried you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise you. Glory be to God. Can we feel that presence this morning as we struggle in our lives? If you have a struggle in your life, can we feel the presence when God is carrying us through those hard times in our lives? And that is my heart's desire. Again, I want to say, I don't share these things to be boastful, but just to bring out. And I feel I can trust you as brothers and sisters in the church that you have compassion. I can share with you. Those that are watching online, you're just going to have to forgive me if you don't understand it all. But sometimes we just have to give and open our lives for healing to start. And I like Brother Henry shared in the ending of his message. He says, you had God revealed to him, you know, this journey that you're taking in this life, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you through this journey. And I just praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for wanting to walk through me. Even though I make a lot of mistakes, God, you have blessed us in so many ways. And that's another thing that I'm so thankful for. God has blessed me with so many things. And like Dave Ramsey always said, when mad people ask him how he was on his radio show, he said, I'm better than I deserve. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. You have blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. That was my, when I was growing up, that God would give me, someday would give me a family that I would have children. God has granted that prayer and has blessed. Don't tell me God does not answer prayers. God answers prayers all the time. God answers prayers when even sometimes he doesn't answer prayers because he knows it's not the right thing for us. And I just want to leave with the verse that we are faithful and steadfast to the end. The journey that we are on this life, as we walk together, as we encourage each other, and as we have that fellowship with one another, and the fellowship with God. And that's another thing that I want to stress. There's a direct correlation between our relationship with God and our relationship with our brother. I like our relationship with our brother or sister in the church or abroad. That's what our relationship was with God. And that's something that I have found peace with, that I have started to understand, you know, that I can have a good relationship. Sometimes people's actions irritate me, but then we think, like Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I understand people hurt us in various ways, and maybe they don't intend to hurt us in ways like that. But sometimes they'll hurt us with words and deeds and do things in our life because they are hurting themselves. Ever think of that? So let's pray for them. Father, for they know not for what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I just want to say, let's stay faithful to the end. That the race that we are running in this life, that we're traveling together, that we can encourage each other. Like we heard in Sunday school, the love that we can share, and encouragement. How do we show love? How do we lay down our life for our brother? It's to share love, encouragement along the way of life's journey. I just want to, as a conclusion to this message, I just want to thank each one of you. I appreciate each one of you for bearing with me. I am way out of practice as far as preaching the Word of God behind a pulpit. But I want to be, if there are things that I said that hurt people, I want to ask for forgiveness. If there are things that bless people and encourage people along the way, I want to say praise be to God. Give the glory to God. Some of the struggles that I shared that I had in my life, maybe they'll help somebody. And that is my desire. With these thoughts, let's kneel and pray.